is Maggie.
And Ashley.
And you're listening to The Watering Hole, a place where animals and animal enthusiasts regularly drink. Every episode, we'll talk about different animals and why they're cool. From basic biology to the threats they face and what people are doing about it. All while under the influence.
Clearly.
That wasn't obvious.
My God.
Oh, boy. We got there.
Man, we're drinking like low ABV beers.
That was the hardest intro we ever did do.
Well, you started to change it up with hello. I was like, who do you think you are?
I thought it was so
I'm
funny.
I'm super
in my
adaptable
head.
To change. Maybe I said hello. I was like, immediately. No.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Absolutely not.
What, are you looking at my microphone?
No, I was looking at the color of your shirt because it is the color of the dog sweater I just got Ollie secondhand that I'm very excited to come in. Like a dark teal.
This is navy blue.
Okay. Well, next to the couch, it looks kind of tealish. Yeah. Maybe I got him a navy blue sweater. We'll see.
Okay. What animal
anyway,
was
Maggie
that?
And I got burritos and chips and queso.
Oh my God, they were so
good. I eat chips and queso like someone's gonna take it away from me. Like I don't come up for air. I just keep shoveling it.
Shovel. Chip.
Full. And like the thin, like restaurant kind of style chips are just
when they're
so,
salty.
Oh, and they're so salty. Mm. You probably didn't have this. Where, I don't know if you had this where you were, but we had a Salsaritas, which was like before Chipotle and Moe's. But it was same thing where like you could build your food. Same concept.
So
did you have Salsaritas?
No, we had something better.
Well, anyway, I'm going to keep talking about Salsaritas real quick because I know my sister Sarah listens to this podcast and she loved Salsaritas. And now that building is in urgent care. What did you have?
We had Nito Burrito. Oh, Central PA. Queso is a fascinating thing. You know that?
Yeah. You know what's really bad? Chipotle's queso. Maybe it's better now. When they first came out with queso, it was so bad. Which is like, how do you do melted cheese poorly?
Well, I'm about to tell you.
Oh, God.
Because you can, like, I don't want to know how queso is made, but I was at an NFL game this past season. And I went up to a kiosk. All I wanted was some nachos and cheese. And it's not queso. It's nachos and cheese. It's disgusting. I don't care. I'm at a game. Whatever. I'm six beers in.
Yeah.
Give me some cheese.
Crunchy, cheesy.
So I watched, like, this woman was stirring the cheese. And it was starting to get kind of hard. Because she's a kiosk. She's not the actual, restaurant.
Yeah. In it's quotes. Congealing.
And so a guy came out with a giant tub of steaming water and just poured it in.
No!
And I was like, that's disgusting. The curtain has been pulled back.
Right.
The facade is gone.
No, you saw how the sausage got made and you did not
it
like
was,
it.
I couldn't. I didn't. I was like, I need to leave right now. I'll just get myself a tequila slushie.
Right.
Like, thank you.
I guess it's all up to get through the rest of the day.
Right?
I
can't oh my God, I couldn't do it.
We've talked a lot about salty snacks,
do you want
to talk about an animal?
Do you want to talk about animals? So, I have an animal for you.
Yeah?
And it's an interesting one.
Uh-huh.
Because it's not that exciting.
Oh, all right.
So we're doing a pretty bland animal today, guys. I don't know if we're going to like it or not. So let's just see how it works.
I was going to make a joke of like, it doesn't have the queso or something, but it's that doesn't work, so.
It's
good. I was trying to tie it back.
It's good enough.
For those who listened to the last episode, it's a Cindy Lauper joke, okay?
All right, so its name has three words, similar to your leaf cutter episode, so I'm going to do the same thing for
tree
my
fingernails.
Clue. Tree fingernails. Okay, so here are your three clues for the three words in this animal's name.
Okay.
A place where boats go. A city in Mississippi, and one of the gangs in West Side Story.
Harbor?
No.
Marina?
No. I mean, you're in...
Island dock?
No.
Bay?
Nope. Just keep going through all the...
Okay, the last one is either sharks or jets. So some kind of shark.
Mm-hmm.
What was the middle one? A town in Mississippi.
A city in Mississippi.
Yeah. My dog's from Mississippi.
Oh.
But I don't know anything else other than that from his.
So not a harbor, but it's also part of the biggest city in Maine. That word that I'm looking for.
Port.
There you go.
Port something shark.
Mm-hmm.
Port.
City in Mississippi.
St. Louis. St. Louis. That's Missouri. To be fair, I've never been to Mississippi.
It's in a Bruno Mars song.
What musical is it in? Give me that one. I got West Side Story. I knew.
What musical is it in?
It's probably not. Port, but I feel like I should be able to figure it. Port what shark?
You could also just call it Port Shark.
Port Shark.
Sure, let's just call it that.
Can you tell me?
It's the Port Jackson Shark.
Oh, I was going to get there.
These guys are cute.
Oh, I've never even heard of them. Clearly. I think I made that very obvious.
So, Port Jackson Shark, we are headed down under to talk about a cute endemic shark species that's only found in the coastal waters of Australia and Tasmania.
Oh.
They are nocturnal bullhead sharks.
Ooh.
So do you know bullhead sharks generally?
Aren't they really aggressive?
No.
Just kidding. Aren't they really nice?
Yep, you got it.
Oh, nice.
So you're probably just thinking like bullhead makes you think of a bull shark. No, oh. It's just because like their head is flat.
Gotcha. They're blunt.
They are bottom feeders. So
I love a good bottom feeder. I don't know what that means.
Ooh. They have what do they look like? Let's start with a beige shark.
Oh, nice.
They have a broad, blunt, flat head. They're not really intimidating looking. And they have the mouth on the bottom of their face because mm-hmm. they're bottom feeders. Mm-hmm. So don't imagine, they're not coming at you like a great white shark where the teeth are like all front and center.
Correct.
If you do look at their mouths, it almost looks like a Frenchman with a curly mustache.
Oh, mm-hmm. Can I look?
Not yet.
In my brain, I'm looking.
Yeah. So they have two primary sets of teeth within that mustache.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're picturing a bottom-dwelling shark that's mm-hmm. beige. All right. So they've got two ridges on their forehead. So imagine like two ridges or spines, throwback episode,
mm-hmm.
On their forehead that flow into their backs.
Mm-hmm.
And now, in addition to the beigeness, imagine take some black paint and like swoop it around to look cool.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote almost ninja-like, but not in an excessive way, in a chic way. It almost looks like they're wearing a dog harness.
Right, those are like four different things. First of all, ninjas just all black. They're not decorating themselves.
But no, okay. So like maybe it's not. Maybe not full tilt ninja.
Okay.
Like I said, not in an excessive way. So imagine ninja meets Fashion Week.
Okay.
So
black.
So they've got some black swoopy paint across their face and their back.
Okay.
And
then a dog harness.
You can take the dog harness part out.
No, we're keeping the dog harness in.
It's not like any rhyme or reason, but it's like the swoopy black paint just mm-hmm. crisscrosses them, but
gotcha.
In not in a stripey way, not in a patterned way.
A little Picasso action?
Yes.
Nice. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They are an egg-laying shark.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that called? Throwback?
Oviparous.
Sure is.
Heck yeah.
They eat mollusks and crustaceans and urchins, so they're nobody we need to fret over. Because they live in coastal waters, they aren't found very deep, so you could see them snorkeling.
Mm-hmm.
They're hanging out of the Great Barrier Reef. You could go see them. Go say hi. They do prefer rocky environments, though sandy and muddy ones will do. So they are, they can be found amongst
they're like,
reefs.
Fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Good enough. It's
it's a Cyndi Lauper kind of environment. See, now it's going to stick with you forever. And for every episode.
Oh my goodness. When they're not active during the day, they're usually found sheltering in caves.
Oh.
Yes.
Underwater caves.
They are a migratory species that travel up and down the coast with the seasons.
Nice.
And they'll return to the same spots on each trip. So it's like they have a summer and a winter home. Same Airbnb each time. They're pretty small. They can grow up to 5.5 feet long.
Ooh.
Or 5.5, some would say.
Some, not all.
5.5 in meters. I don't know. That's like a meter and a half or something.
Oh, I was like five and a... Yes.
If you are not an American audience.
Which, don't worry, my mom and sister are American, so our audience is American.
Thanks. They're like, you really don't have to translate those. We don't need that.
We got it.
We just need the feet. They are sexually mature around 9 years old for the males, 12 for the females. All right. So I mentioned that they eat mollusks and crustaceans mm-hmm. and small things. And we all know that when sharks are swimming along, they have to keep swimming so that they can breathe, right? Mm-hmm. Well, these sharks are unique in that they can eat and breathe at the same time, which seems normal for the rest of us, but not when you're a shark.
Not when you're eating chips and queso. I do not
you
breathe.
You do not breathe.
You just keep shoveling it in.
Most sharks are unable to breathe when they're eating because they need to be swimming forward with their mouths open in order for the water to pass over their gills. Mm-hmm. But this isn't the case for the Port Jackson sharks.
Ooh.
They actually are able to do both through buccal ventilation, which is generation of an almost continuous water flow over their gills by compressing and decompressing their pharynx. Isn't that just cool?
That's very cool.
And it works out nicely because they're...
Is this right?
I don't know what you're doing with your pharynx, so I can't vouch for you.
I'm assuming, for those listening,
Do you want to describe what you're doing? You'll have to go to YouTube to see what I'm doing. They just got
doing.
To hear your mouth noises
yeah.
in their ear.
Well, I'm going to mute those for everybody's benefit. Mm-hmm.
So, very cool in that they are one of the few sharks that can actually do this.
Very cool.
Now, here's another fun fact about these guys. You remember, throwback to our OG listeners, the mermaid's purse?
Mm, yes. Oh, what a time.
Oh my God. Time to be alive. Mermaid's purse. So what are those? The mermaid's purse is an egg sack of a shark.
Oh my God. A shark's egg sack.
What?
Why? You looked at me like, help. And I'm like, you have all the words. Just put them in the goddamn order.
I just word scrambled them for myself. Okay, so those are the little black pouches that you can see on the beach that usually, like, it's a little rectangle, but then it has like long arms that curl off.
Yeah.
These guys, their eggs.
Their eggs?
Their eggs, let me tell you. That was really weird.
It was.
Their eggs are a spiral.
Ooh!
They're corkscrews.
Ooh!
I have no idea why. I didn't explore more. Go research it because that's fascinating.
But it's cool, isn't it?
Yep. Next fact. All right.
And we're moving on.
Juveniles are very silly and playful, and that's when their personalities will begin to shine through.
Oh.
They're being used in aquariums in research studies as scientists are trying to discern their intelligence level.
Ooh.
So far, we have found that they are capable of learning to associate bubbles, LED lights, or sounds with receiving a reward.
Ooh.
They can distinguish different quantities. In other words, they can count.
Dang.
These sharks can count. And they can learn by watching what other sharks are doing, which we see a lot in mammals. However, here's the rub. Ongoing research finds that they cannot differentiate between jazz and classical music.
Oh my God.
I know.
Get rid of them.
I know.
We don't need them.
That being said, there is a Port Jackson shark in the Newport Aquarium in Kentucky that is hitting the social media airwaves because it apparently has learned to dance when it's about to get a food reward.
Oh, me too.
If that wasn't the most basic bitch thing I've ever heard. So these sharks do have shining personalities. They're super cute.
Oh, I can finally look one up.
You can finally look one up. They are of least concern, even though they're only found off the coast of Australia and Tasmania. their populations are doing just fine.
Oh my gosh, they look like a Jim Henson creature.
I think they're really cute.
That's a compliment.
Yeah.
They're so fun.
They're lovely.
Look at those ridges. Oh my gosh, look at that harness. I like them.
So there you go. The Port Jackson shark.
Woo! Oh, that's so fun. Now, how did you come across them?
Ah, great question. So glad you asked.
I always do.
You always do. One of our friends / followers posted a story about them the other day, and I just thought that they were really, really pretty. I don't know if it was just the video he posted or if the sharks actually can do this, but it was like glowing in the dark.
That'd be cool.
This nocturnal critter.
I wouldn't put it past them. Oh, they're so fun. Their mouths are a little weird, though, not gonna lie.
Their mouths are kind of weird. But if you catch them in just the right light, it's cute.
Yeah, you're right. Just the right angle. Wrong angle, very weird. Right angle, cute. Oh, that's so awesome.
There you go.
New shark. Oh, my God. Well, luckily for you, we're staying in the sea.
My favorite place to be.
Aww. All right. Are you ready for my clue?
I think I am.
It's not my best clue in the world, but I feel like you'll get it. Ready?
Let's hope. One can hope.
If an iconic African mammal fell in the water.
Oh, are you doing a lion's mane fish? No. What is that thing called?
No, but a lionfish.
Lionfish.
Or lion means jellyfish.
It's different. Yeah, I combined the two.
Neither of those.
If an iconic
African mammal.
African mammal.
The largest one.
The elephant. Seal.
Yes. I was like, finish it. Yes, I am doing the elephant seal, specifically the northern elephant seal.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. The northern elephant seal or the Marunga anguistus.
Fuck. Oh, I haven't done Latin names for any. Did we do Latin names in the last episode?
I did.
You did?
Mm-hmm. I always do. It's like the second thing I copy-paste onto my document. Marunga angustirostris.
That was it.
Can't fight me on it. The largest of the true seals in the northern hemisphere. There are also southern elephant seals. They are a separate species, but both are in the genus Marunga. Southern elephant seals are found in like
Antarctica. New Zealand.
And they're in the southern hemisphere, basically.
They're south.
Imagine that. But these guys, the northern elephant seals, are found along the eastern and central North Pacific coast, with the largest colonies off of Southern California in the Channel Islands.
Oh.
They're also found like down to Mexico and like as far up north as Alaska, but not as popular up there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were that far south.
Yeah. They go down to Mexico. But what do they look like? I'm sure you've probably seen them because they're pretty iconic, I think, just because of how big and wild looking they are. Like I said, they're the largest of the true seals. They are very large, with males weighing up to 4,400 pounds and reaching lengths of 13 feet.
They're bigger than a walrus.
They're fucking big.
They're bigger than a walrus?
Maybe. You look up how big a walrus is again.
They're 2,700 and something pounds.
Yeah, I don't know if I said this. This is the males.
Uh-huh.
With the females being significantly smaller, females can weigh up to 1,300 pounds. So that's like less than a third of the weight of a male elephant seal, and up to 10 feet in length. So they can still be lengthy. They look like seals, so they look... But, like, less shapely, which seals already are not shapely creatures. Like, they're seal shaped.
Seals are bananas.
Like, seals... Fat
bananas.
I love, like, the difference between a seal and a sea lion. There's a bunch of differences. But my favorite is, like, seals move like caterpillars on the ground, where like, they just, like, kind of flop. Whereas, like, sea lions can, like, legitimately run on rocks and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so just, like, big floppy things that are... even bigger. So I wrote large gray blobs, honestly.
That's what they look like.
That's what they are. At around age 7, though, males reach puberty, and they start to develop these large inflatable noses, referred to as proboscis. This hangs over their front lip by about 8 inches, hence the reference to elephants.
Elephant.
So it is not a trunk in the way that an elephant has, but it looks like one, because they've got this big floppy thing on their face.
Big schmuzz.
It is useful. They use it mainly to make noises during mating, but not nearly as useful as an elephant trunk is. They also, at the same age, around puberty, develop a kind of a thick neck of calloused skin that creates a shield when males are fighting, which is much needed. We'll get to that later. And then I wrote this. Sorry, their eyes also just look funny to me. I mean, seals have big eyes. I call Ollie a seal all the time. Mm-hmm. But on the male elephant seals in particular, the big eyes, right, just like right above their big proboscis nose, just look ridiculous. It looks like
they look
like craft store eyes. Like somebody bought some black buttons and just like slapped them on.
You know what they kind of look like? Huh. A sock puppet.
That's it. See? Button eyes.
That's what they look like.
Stuck on, and they've got this big floppy thing.
Oh.
And it's like, and if you ever, the reason I did them is because I was watching The Mating Game and they came up. And, like, you can watch them fight, and it's mm-hmm. bloody and gory and stuff like that. But then to think of it as a sock puppet is just so funny.
That's what we need to add.
Sorry, I accidentally zoomed in on my computer, and I don't know how I did that.
Just in case you were curious, they are bigger than walruses.
Dang!
Yeah.
Probably should have looked that up myself, but thank you, Maggie, for coming in hot with the walrus facts again. Remember, I was the one who did walrus. So I mentioned the largest colonies are found off the coast of California. But they actually spend about about 9 months of the year in the ocean and have one of the longest migrations of any mammal.
What?
Over 13,000 miles round trip.
Whoa.
So
we don't think of that with seals migrating.
Right? Most of the time when they're out at sea, they are diving to depths of 1,000 to 2,500 feet and they can stay underwater for anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes, mm-hmm. With only short breaks at the surface. While they're down there, they're looking for squid and fish, but they can also consume rays and shark. And I feel like it's funny because like whenever you think about elephant seals, obviously we're going to see them on land way more than we're going to see them in sea, but like I never even like think of seeing them in the ocean. But it's because even when you're like out in the ocean, if you're on a boat or whatever, you're very rarely going to see them because they're underwater for really long periods of time. Like mm-hmm. that's just where they are.
Like whales too, yeah.
Just like whales.
Are you going to get into how deep they dive?
I said 1,000 to 2,500 feet.
But I mean like they can dive deeper than almost any other animal.
Oh, shit, they can. I know that graphic that I'm thinking about. Damn.
Yeah.
That is a good fact to add in. They dive really deep, people. Listen, this was the one I did today.
It's fine. I just think elephant seals are so stinking cool. Like, it's a seal, but it can dive deeper than many whales and dolphins.
It's acting like it's something else.
Mm-hmm. Acting like it's a fish.
Dang. So they're out there, they're diving, they're underwater most of the time because they're eating. Why are they eating so much? And this is because when it becomes time to mate, they're not eating at all. They're basically fasting. For northern elephant seals, they fast during the mating season, both males and females for different reasons. But they can lose up to 36% of their body weight during this time. So wow. they gotta stock up on fishies and occasional sharks and Squid. So during mating season, or when mating season starts, males arrive first to the breeding beaches, or rookeries, mm-hmm. And they fight to establish dominance.
Yes.
During these mattles.
My God. Male battles.
Oh my God.
Mattles.
During battles, males will inflate their noses to create these drum-like sounds to warn off weaker males. It's so funny because to me it's not intimidating at all. Obviously, I am not a male elephant seal. I am not the target audience. But I just think it's so funny. What's not funny, though, is when you watch them fight and, like, they're, like, going at it. They've got, I mean, they're carnivores, so they've got big teeth.
Which is kind of amazing. Like, looking at them, they're huge. But you would think, oh,
they don't look scary. They look like sock puppets.
They don't look scary. And where are those teeth? Where are the teeth? Right. Like you with a walrus, you're like, oh shit, get out of the way.
Oh, I see where it is.
Yeah, But the elephant seal, you don't see those giant canines are hiding under that schnoz.
No, you don't. The schnoz is too big. They hide it. So like I said, males arrive first. This is a polygynous society. So last episode I talked polygyny is one male, many females. So the bull elephant seals, so bull being the males, can have a harem of 30 to 100 cows or females during, depending on his size and strength.
So is he mating with all of them?
Yep. Oh. Yep. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. So yeah, the breeding strategy is females want to mate with the biggest, largest males. He's also protecting them.
Right.
He will fight. He's protecting them because he wants to breed with them. He's fighting off all of these other males.
What does that do for genetic diversity?
It's not great. They also have a genetic bottleneck, so like it's also
great.
Yeah, it's not great. But smaller, younger males will kind of wait at the periphery of these harems and try to like sneak in to mate with females, but they're often chased away in very bloody fights. Mm-hmm. They will try to like take over harems, but males that are like successful are very successful.
They're like Genghis Khan.
Yes. Great. Reference. In a lifetime, a successful bull could easily sire over 500 pups.
Woof. Over his lifetime.
So, like, if there's 50, that's, if you have 50 in your harem, that's 10 years that you're there. Yeah.
Wow.
So, and then I don't think I put it in here, but I remember reading somewhere that there's plenty of males that never sire pups ever.
Wow. I mean, that's...
They're never successful.
That's, for the fittest, though. Survival of the fittest.
So sorry. Females arrive a little bit later and associate with the dominant males who form the harems. Pretty soon after they arrive, they give birth to their pups from the previous year. So they have 11 months of gestation.
Whoa.
So it's perfectly timed, basically. They get to shore, they give birth to these pups. So their pups are also kind of protected from this harem. It can get a little dangerous, though, because when the males fight, they can squish these tiny, tiny pups.
Yeah, of course.
But females arrive, they give birth, then they, this is fun. Newborns weigh 75 pounds at birth, and they're 4 feet in length. During the first month.
That's an Argos.
Give birth to an Argos.
You give birth to an Argos, bubby.
During the first month, they gain about 10 pounds a day.
A day.
This is the time when mothers aren't eating. So males don't eat because they have this harem. They're not leaving it.
Right.
Females don't eat for this month because they're with their pups. So they're not going out to forage.
Right.
Which is why they need to forage beforehand. But nursing them for a month. Then they kind of basically abruptly cut them off after 4 weeks.
I'm fucking hungry.
So they need to gain that weight. Yeah. So at the end of that month, pups end up weighing between 300 and 400 pounds. Just like in 1 month.
1 month. In a day, they gain 10 pounds.
How
is that possible? How, like, that's the fastest growth.
Sorry, I'm actually an alien and I'm breaking out of my skin. That was a bonkers noise. But these pups, they're getting big, aren't they?
Whoa. Wow.
But yeah.
Wow. I feel like you could be sitting on a beach watching them. You could watch the growth. You could see it.
You take a picture every day and it's like one of those flip books and they're just getting
Even that. Like, it's faster than watching the grass grow. I mean, the grass grow is notoriously slow. I don't know what I'm...
Yeah. It's faster than watching paint dry. But yeah. Okay. And like I mentioned, but again, so they basically perfectly time this where they're on shore for what they need.
Right.
They give birth. They have a month. They get pregnant again. As soon as they wean their pups.
Okay. That's
they
get
ready.
Knocked up again.
Yep. And then they're off for another 11 months. So
Jesus.
It's great timing.
I do want to point out because there's probably some mothers listening to this podcast right now that are like, the last thing I wanted to do after giving birth
was get pregnant again.
Was get pregnant again or even have any sex.
Right?
Like, what? A month later. Oh my God.
Females on average are living longer though because males have this harems, they're having these fights, they're not going to live as long.
Okay.
Females will live on average 19 years, males 13 years. Because of this mating regime I wrote. Is regime correct? I don't know.
Sounds great.
Sounds great. conservation.
How they doing?
Woo! So I'm gonna go back a little bit. Okay. It's a story. So beginning in the 18th century, northern elephant seals were hunted extensively, almost to extinction.
Of course.
By the end of the 19th century, they were prized for oil made from their blubber.
Mm. God, we can't have nice things.
Right? So they really were thought to be extinct. And then
the animals, not the oil lamps. That.
Yes. Oh, then they really were thought to be extinct. And then a few animals were discovered in 1892, which were captured and then killed for scientific study. What? Luckily, though, thank God, there was a population of somewhere between 20 to 100 individuals that had survived.
Ugh.
Current population now is well over 170,000 and growing.
Good.
But studies have shown that pretty much all of those descendants are from those few survivors from that population, making genetic diversity a big concern.
Beyonce's Destiny's Child Survivor is just playing in my head right now.
but the reason genetic diversity is a concern is without a lot of genetic diversity, you're a lot more susceptible to diseases. Your reproduction can get kind of screwed up if you're, mating with your cousins and stuff like that.
Right.
So definitely something, an area of concern, because we killed almost all of them. However, they're now protected by the Marine Mammal Protection Act of 1972.
They're now or not?
They are protected.
Okay.
Everything's protected by any marine mammal is protected by the Marine Mammal Protection Act.
All marine mammals.
Correct. You don't have to have any kind of listing or anything.
Oh.
Yeah. And that basically means like you can't harass them. You can't come in a certain distance to them. You can't hunt them, I'm pretty sure, without permits and stuff like that. So they are now IUCN listed as least concern.
Whoa, least concern. What a success.
A success story that I did not know about. Like, I'm not surprised that they were hunted, but the fact that they were, like, basically extinct and they all came back from this one population
is great. Nature finds a way.
Always does. Jeff Goldblum knew. And while they are no longer hunted, they still face many threats, like entanglements in fishing gear, very common for a lot of marine mammals. They'll get stuck in fishing gear, and even if they don't drown from it initially, if they can't get it off, they'll become exhausted from pulling along nets and gear and ropes and stuff like that. Vessel strikes are also common because they're out in the deep sea swimming around. And of course, rising sea and air temperatures are also going to play a role in their threats. But they are technically a success story, and they're just pretty freaking cool.
That's so great. They're so funny.
I want to see one now.
I know.
Have you seen one?
Not yet.
Oh, we should go to the Channel Islands. Let's go.
Where's the Channel Islands?
Off the coast of California.
I know, but where?
Oh, that's all I got.
Are they? I think the Channel Islands are where the young adult novel Island of the Blue Dolphins is held.
Oh, is it?
I'm guessing.
All right.
It's one of my favorite books as a kid.
Oh, really? Is that the Brooke Shields movie?
No.
Oh.
I don't think so.
What am I thinking of? It's definitely a very different movie. Blue Lagoon! That's what I'm thinking of. Anywho, wow! Thanks for joining us on this episode. If you like our podcast, God damn it. Oh, wait, just a reminder. Shit.
I mean, I think it's obvious.
Yeah, we're not special. Do your own research. We just want to get you excited. Thanks for joining us on this episode. If you like our podcast, make sure you subscribe wherever you are listening, for the love of God, and leave us a 5-star review.
I mean, 6 if you could.
6 if you could. That's what you write in the review. I wish I could leave more. It'll help us reach more animal enthusiasts just like you. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, the TikTok. All of it, just look at for the Watering Hole Pod, and we're ladies talking about animals. I swear you'll find us. And you can visit our website, thewateringholepod.com. Tune in next time when we learn about more animals, their biology and habitat, the threats they face, and what people are doing about it.